Well, it is Easter time, and today we're going to have a message concerning Easter and the resurrection. The biblical text is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Please get your Bible and be ready to study with us. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Now, just a personal word today about what's been happening in our lives. Most of you know that Faye has had hip replacement surgery. That was a month ago, and she had 2 weeks of difficulty, but is now recovering very well. She started out with a walker, graduated to a cane, and is now walking without a cane. And the recovery is going very well. I have had a time of pneumonia, and that's about 5 weeks ago. I'm recovered from the pneumonia, but have had a difficult time in regaining energy and strength. But I'm doing better today, and we need to let you know that we are very, very thankful people. We thank you for your calls, for your cards, and for your support. Now let us bow for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have made a way for us to live near your heart, in your heart, and with you. The provision of a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to live for your glory. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you to bless this message from your own word about the resurrection and about our Easter celebration, and use this for your glory and for our edification. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me read the text from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And we read, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." Now, I want to begin without getting into the context just now, but to reveal the purpose for which these verses are written, these truths. Why are they included in Holy Scripture? The purpose is to reveal that believing in the resurrection of Christ is vital for salvation. Now, we make a great deal about the death, and rightly so. We should also make a big deal about the resurrection, and rightly so. And this passage reminds us that believing in the resurrection of Christ is vital, absolutely essential for salvation. Now, let's approach the text this way. Let's ask a question. What is included in saving faith? This passage reveals the faith that saves. Now, what is included in saving faith? And the first point is this. It includes believing in the resurrection of Christ. It just leaps out of the passage here when we read that God raised him, that is Christ. God raised him. That is resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is an act of God. God raised him from the dead. God's own doing, God's act, God's power, God's energy to provide for us a living Savior. He is brought from death to life. So included in this believing is the fact that God raised him from the dead. Now it's interesting that at Easter time we have many people trying to prove the resurrection through physical evidences that the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, the angel was there, the women were there, he walked on the earth. People can listen to all that and still not believe. What is required is believing that God raised him from the dead, that it was an act of God. Now included in this believing is the fact that he was dead. You don't have resurrection unless you first of all have death. So included in saving faith is the belief that he was dead, that the Savior offered himself, gave his life, his sacrificial death. Now, because of the recent movie, The Passion of Christ, people have been exposed to all the physical aspects of the death of Christ. And people come away with a sentimental feeling about this. Oh, poor Jesus. He suffered so much. Now he did. But it needs to be pointed out that the physical suffering is not the primary problem. The thing that is the real passion of Christ is that while he was on the cross, he was made sin for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that is the passion. That was what was going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. The innocent becoming guilty. The innocent one with the absence of sin in his life, now becoming guilty, now becoming the sinner for you and me. That is the passion. That needs to be preached. That needs to be expressed and made known so that people really understand that the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ was not primarily a physical thing, but a spiritual act of God, whereby God, the Savior, became guilty for us. Yes, he was dead. And God raised him from the dead. And so we consider the resurrection. The actual resurrection means to be brought out of. He, by the power and energy that was divine, was brought out of the condition of death, D-E-A-D, dead, and aroused to life, brought out of death. And God did this as an expression of his approval and acceptance of the sacrifice. Is God the Father satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son? to bring salvation to sinners. Yes, he is satisfied, and it is revealed in the resurrection. In fact, we have a biblical word translated propitiation. Propitiation basically means satisfaction. That God is satisfied with the death of Christ as a way of forgiveness of sin. So believing in the resurrection is absolutely vital. Now here's another point in this passage about the believing. We read, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing in the heart is in contrast to a mere intellectual assent. And people could do this. People could think through this and say, yes, there was a resurrection from death, but not accept this truth into the heart, which brings saving faith. Believing in the heart is an act of God within us. It is the gift of God, faith. It requires regeneration. You see, you could present all the evidence, and people could hear about that physically, but not spiritually. To believe in the heart is a spiritual matter, which only God can bring about. No human being is capable of believing in the heart. It is not an act of human will. It is not a decision made by a totally depraved person. It is not out of the will of man, which is in bondage to sin. It is by the gift of God in regeneration, whereby God gives faith to that sinner, and that sinner then believes in the heart that God has raised him from the dead. And we need to know today, this is powerful. This is personal. We believe in our heart. And it is relying entirely upon God himself for our salvation. What does this text teach us? It teaches us that believing in the resurrection of Christ is vital for our salvation. And that believing is in the heart, which is the gift of God to us. Now this passage includes another thought. It includes confessing Christ as Lord. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, it includes confessing Christ as Lord. There is a testimony. There is an expression that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, so many people give a testimony that when I was a teenager, I went to camp and I believed in Jesus as my Savior. Then later on in life, I received him as my Lord. And I say that is impossible. You cannot separate the Savior from the Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, That is how he is presented to us in Scripture. Salvation includes confessing Christ as Lord. You do not accept him unless you accept his authority and his power in our life. Believing is confessing. And what we are confessing is that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I am now believing in my heart. And I am confessing with my life how I live. And as opportunity arises, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my authority. I am no longer my own authority. I am under his government. And I love this life. It includes confessing. Now, thirdly, this passage reveals that saving faith includes a certain result. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. Fact. Not maybe, not hope so. Fact. You will be saved. Saved from the condemnation of sin. It is certain because God is doing it. Now you are not only saved from condemnation, you are saved to righteousness. For with the heart one believes to righteousness. Now I want to refer to the context of this passage in verses 1 to 4 in Romans. The issue here is righteousness. And the question is, how does man become righteous? And Paul is discussing the Jewish people, that they have a knowledge of God, but being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So, having the righteousness of God is a submission of the human heart to believe that God has raised him from the dead, and to confess with the mouth. That is salvation. Here is the certain result. You will be saved, because it is God's doing. Now, I have never preached an Easter sermon from this passage until now. And I have probably delivered 100 messages on Easter or resurrection. And so this passage leaped out at me this year in considering an Easter message. Here it is. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now what a glorious Easter we can have. What a celebration. We have been saved. God has saved us from sin and given us his righteousness so that we no longer strive or struggle or try to bring about our own righteousness, which is totally impossible. But we have now received the righteousness of God, which qualifies us for heaven. I hope that all of you will have a glorious Easter time by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed with such glorious truth, with such grace that provides for us our salvation and our righteousness. Thank you for the gift of faith and the fact that we now, this day, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth and with our life that Jesus is Lord. May it all be to your honor and glory. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.